much know that song. The title of the series we're in is Sing We Now of Christmas, and this happens to be titled Silent Night. It'll come from Luke 2:14, and, you know, my voice is kind of shot, right? It's a big, deep, dark voice, but man, I have no range when I sing anymore. I used to. Marine Corps kind of changed that. But I wanted to tell you a little story, and this all happened a few days before Christmas in 1792. The city, it was in the city of Salzburg, Austria. A young, unmarried seamstress named Anna gave birth to her third child. The father had disappeared from Anna's life months before the baby came, leaving her alone and destitute. I got to tell you, in those days, unwed pregnancies, you know, not only came with a cultural shame, it came with a fine, a monetary fine as well. And it could be more than a year's wages for a common laborer. So it was far more than a woman like Anna could possibly pay. This meant the boy could not be baptized, which meant that his rights as a citizen would be severely restricted, right? Also in those days, children born in such circumstances as Anna's son were often deserted and left to die in the street. But Anna, she had no intention of doing this. Instead, she planned to raise her son on her own as best as she could. Now, there was a man in the city of Salzburg and by the name of Joseph Wohlmuth, right? He was a well-to-do guy, but not exactly well-liked. He had a pretty interesting job. He was the local executioner, a hangman per se, right? And the job, it paid well. It was neither admired nor prestigious, but Joseph had heard of Anna's plight, and maybe because he was something of, you know, an outcast himself, he agreed to pay the fine so the boy could be baptized. He even agreed to be registered as the young man's godfather and allowed the boy to be given his name, Joseph. Though Joseph's baptism, it prevented him from being a complete outcast throughout the community, he was still an outsider, not accepted. He was unable to do things that legitimate children could do, and that young people were allowed to do, such as attend school, learn a trade, seek employment, enter the church. For an innocent boy who had done nothing to deserve it, he had a tough life right from the get, defined by rejection and condemnation. Young Joseph wasn't allowed to participate in any religious activities, so instead he would spend his lonely afternoons singing on the steps of the church, the cathedral, right? He may not have been welcome among the decent people who, you know, filled the pews each Sunday morning, but he still felt at home in the shadow of that cathedral. And so he would go there, and he would go and he would sing. As it turns out, Joseph had an angelic voice, unlike mine. One day, the local choir master heard him singing and was so impressed that he decided to abandon protocol and bend the rules and invite Joseph to join their elite group of performers, which gave him the opportunity to receive an education. Joseph proved himself to be not only a gifted vocalist and musician, he became the master, literally the master of many instruments. He was also an outstanding student. The vicar of the church encouraged Joseph to pursue a, you know, a career in ministry. But there remained the nagging problem of the circumstances surrounding his birth, his so-called legitimacy. Since Joseph was born out of wedlock, he normally wouldn't even be allowed to attend seminary. The vicar went to bat for him, and ultimately the church authorities granted special permission for him to attend seminary. Finally, in 1815, at the age of 22, Joseph Moore graduated from seminary and was ordained as a priest. The very following year, right, the next year, he wrote the song for which he is so well known. It is, according to Time magazine, the most popular Christmas song ever. I found some data from 1978 to 2014. It was recorded more than 730 times. Josephus, he wrote the verses in German, and eventually they were translated to English. Today we sing it this way. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. And we're typically familiar with three or four verses. We sang four today, right? And in the song, the ones we sang earlier, and actually Joseph wrote three more that aren't often included with others. Together, these verses tell the story of God's intervening grace, right? And his power to calm the turmoil that so often, you know, defines the world that each of us live in, that we all live in today. And today we're going to take a look at the remaining additional three verses of Silent Night. And let's consider the message that they present to us. They remind us of the message of Christmas, which is to say that they remind us of the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And there's three truths we're going to find as we look at this. And the first one is, God loves those who feel the most rejected. Listen to the verse, silent night, holy night, here at last healing light, from the heavenly kingdom sent, abundant grace for our intent. Jesus, salvation for all. Jesus, salvation for all. There are entire religions built on the idea of salvation for some, salvation for the few, salvation for those who look and talk and act exactly like us, salvation for those who, yeah, toe the line and meet every single requirement and consider themselves a cut above everybody else. In fact, even Christianity has been contorted and distorted to present such a message to outsiders. We all know people who can't bring themselves to step inside the doors of a church. And that's, you know, it's not because they don't like the music or the preaching. Well, maybe the preaching, or or they can't sit still for an hour, or that they've got better things to do. It's because they don't feel welcome. They don't feel wanted. And they certainly don't feel worthy of being there. They know they bring with them a sinful past and even possibly a sinful present, and they don't feel like they fit in. Yes, I know there are some who truly do reject the gospel message and with intention because of a hardened and embittered heart. And I also know there are many among us who have, you know, not yet accepted Christ in this community, in this world, because they have not yet heard the message. Here at last, a healing light, Jesus, salvation for all. Listen to what King David said in Psalms 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Isaiah said that God gathers the outcasts of Israel and will gather even more beside them. That's Isaiah 56:8. Joseph Moore was born into a world that made him an outcast from the very start. into a religious environment that offered nothing to, you know, nothing at all. No compassion, no grace, no hope of salvation. But the story of Christmas and the message of the gospel cannot be contained forever. Joseph Moore discovered what it means. Here at last a healing light. The power of this phrase leads us right into the next verse that Joseph wrote, in which he says, Jesus embraces us even while we are unembraceable. Here's the fifth verse. Silent night, holy night, sleeps the world in peace tonight. God sends his son to earth below, a child from whom all blessings flow. Jesus embraces mankind, Jesus embraces mankind. God didn't send his son into the world to say, congratulations on a job well done, right? You're doing a great job of managing the world. No, he didn't send his son into the world because we are good. He sent his son into the world because we are lost. We need him. Isaiah 53:5. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Many can see it, what we're talking about here, many can see it from a distance. We're able to see how the world could be, right? If only we would let it be, right? We see how nations could succeed if they would only work together for mutual peace and prosperity. They need not be at war. Communities need not exist in chaos. Families need not suffer from endless turmoil. Individuals need not struggle with isolation and despair. We can see how the world could be. We just can't get there. Because, and listen to Romans 3:23, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. There are religions built on the idea that God loves those who are lovable. The Lord loves the one that loves the Lord. Some wrongly assume that the message of Christianity is the same, that if you want to be saved, if you ever hope to be right with God, right, you better find a way to be good, because God will accept nothing less. That's not, my friends, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that this in Romans 5:6. When we are unable to help ourselves, at the moment of our need, Christ died for us, although we were living against God. You know, God shows his great love for us in this way. That's how he showed how much he loved each of you and me, right? Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Romans 5:8. This is what Joseph Moore is talking about when he says, Jesus embraces mankind. He loves you in spite of your sin, in spite of your past, in spite of your secrets. He loves you enough to die on the cross for you, to forgive you for your sins, to wipe the slate perfectly clean, and to give you a new life and a new nature and a new identity. Jesus embraces mankind. Jesus embraces you. And that's because God understands you even more than you understand yourself. Listen to this verse. Silent night, holy night, mindful of mankind's plight, the Lord in heaven on high decreed, from earthly woes we would be freed. Jesus, God's promise for peace. Jesus, God's promise for peace. My favorite line in this verse is mindful of mankind's plight. I imagine every one of us has at some time had the idea that God just doesn't understand what it's like to be in my shoes, right? And if he does understand, maybe, just maybe, he doesn't care. The disciples felt that way one time. Many of you will know right where I'm headed. When we read Mark 4, 35 to 41, Jesus and the disciples, they were in a boat crossing the Sea of Galilee. Up came, as the Bible calls it, a furious squall. The wind tossed the boat around. The waves crashed from all sides. Mark says Jesus was asleep in the stern on a cushion while the disciples were in a panic over the storm. These were seafaring men. They were fishermen. They spent their life in a boat. It had to be a bad storm to get their attention, right? But Jesus was resting on that cushion, sleeping in heavenly peace and comfort. Here's what Mark 4:38 says. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" You probably know what happened next. Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And the disciples said amongst themselves, "Who is this man that even the wind and waves obey him?" You just got to paint this picture. Because I think a few of us have been around a lake or been, Kathy will tell you, we've been in some pretty ugly storms out in the water, right? She's not happy with me. but the waves don't just calm down. I mean, the wind could quit, right? Out of the blue, the wind could stop blowing. But the waves don't go flat. The waves, everything went still. And I want you to remember, right? Let me put it this way. You may find yourself from time to time in the midst of a furious squall, right, in your life. And it may seem that Jesus is really asleep on a cushion, right, unaware of what is happening in your life. And I want you to remember the phrase, mindful of mankind's plight. Right? He knows what's going on in your life, and he cares, and most of all, he has the power to do something about it. Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves, the words that we so often need spoken in our own lives, "Peace, be still." He came to bring us peace, and that was the announcement of the day, right, of his birth, when the angels came. And what did they say in Luke 2:14, our verse for today? "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." He came to bring us peace, my friends. We ourselves are not capable of manufacturing anything of the sort. The headlines will tell you this, right? Your news feed will tell you this. It will tell you exactly what we're capable of creating in this world that we live in, right? Nothing but chaos and confusion that we see around us every day. This is not only on a global scale, right? Many of us have witnessed it firsthand in our own personal lives, but if you will invite Jesus into your life, he will fill it with the kind of peace that passes all understanding. A few years ago, quite a few years ago now, but Amy Grant wrote a song that references this same thing. She calls it, "I Need a Silent Night." In the chorus, she sang these words, "I need a silent night, a holy night, to hear an angel's voice through the chaos and the noise. I need a midnight clear, a little peace right here, to end this crazy day with a silent night." Here's the good news, my friends, right? This is exactly what God has promised to his people. The ability to end each crazy day with a peaceful rest and a silent night. The world, your world, my world, it may be in turmoil, but here's the good news of the Christmas story and the heart of the gospel message. Here, at last, there's a healing light, right? Jesus comes to give salvation for all. He embraces you even when you are at your worst, and he can calm the storm that rages around you, and even the storm, are you ready, that rages within you. You may feel that you're disenfranchised from the rest of the world, rejected and condemned because of who you are, unable to escape the shame that surrounds you, afraid to face the future that lies ahead of you. Here's what I say. Jesus came to bring you peace, to offer you a silent night in his presence. At the end of each hectic day, he's mindful of your plight, and he embraces you in mercy and compassion. And therein you can discover his healing light, the same salvation that he extends to all people, he extends to you. My friends, that's a praise be to God, right? That's a praise be to God, that God offers us a peace in this time of a news cycle that is constant turmoil, constant bad news. In our own lives, when that storm raises, know that when you give that up to God, God will reach in even in the midst of that storm and calm it. There's no better time to celebrate communion.